The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In my high school and college years, I did a lot of singing. Singing solos, sometimes a duet, often singing with a choir. And sometimes it was just a group of friends gathered around a piano singing popular songs from the radio during our lunchtime. One thing that I didn't realize early on, how important a good accompanist is. That's the one who's playing the music. A good accompanist can buoy the confidence of the singer or instrumentalist. A good accompanist can help the performer truly give their best performance. I actually didn't know how spoiled I was to have a friend in high school who was an excellent piano player but also had the knack of being a good accompanist. In college, I was often surrounded by excellent musicians who weren't necessarily great accompanists. It's two different skills. As a pastor, I can think back to moments where I've had an accompanist that has been a very good blessing. Often when we lived in Illinois, if my wife had a funeral at her church, I would be the soloist for their funerals services. And so I remember one organist in particular. It was one of those days where the song was a little bit tricky to sing. It was a little bit high for my range, and I was nervous. I still get nervous when I sing in front of people. You might be surprised by that, but I do. I still get nervous. But what stood out for me that day is that the accompanist could feel my nerves, and she did something very tangible to help me to relax and to sing as best I could that day. As she would play the phrases of music, she would breathe loudly. Now, you might think that's kind of funny, but do you know what that did for me? It reminded me to breathe. Because the thing that happens to me when I get nervous is I can't breathe very deep, I can't hold that breath very long, and my voice begins to waver more and more. And it doesn't seem to get better as the song goes on. Once it starts, it just keeps getting worse and worse. So I was so thankful for this woman who knew the moments to take a breath and would audibly breathe so that I was reminded to breathe as well. Now, I only worked with that accompanist once, but it was a gift and a skill and an ability that she had. We know that these kinds of relationships can happen in lots of different ways and lots of different places. We know that in sports, there are certain pitchers who only want to pitch to certain catchers. because they know a certain catcher can call a game in a way that they will do their very best. We know that a great quarterback, when they've worked with their receivers for so long, that they know where the receivers will be on the field when everything breaks down. This accompaniment type of work can happen in the workplace, in relationships, in many different ways. A doctor so often, or a surgeon, is buoyed up by that team that spends so much time around the surgeon that they know the questions or the tools that will need to be in place before the doctor knows they're ready for them. Anytime that someone can work with us and help us to be our best, and hopefully we can return that as well once in a while, we have been accompanied. Now, I think this imagery is helpful for our understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to accompany us on our life journey. The Spirit may at times cheer us on. The Spirit may at times help us to change direction. The Spirit at times will fill in the gaps when we have no ability to speak or sing or play. I also like to say that sometimes the Spirit will grab you by the scruff of the neck and get you back in line when you've fallen out of place. The Holy Spirit continually accompanies us on our path of knowing who God is for us and to us, and how that is made known through Jesus. Now, as Lutherans, we have a tendency to focus on God and Jesus, and because the Spirit is more mysterious or a little less reserved than we're comfortable with, the Spirit can often get left out of the conversation. And yet, the Spirit of God has been with us all along. The Spirit has been building up the body of Christ, the people of God, since the beginning. And it will continue to take time and effort, but hopefully together we can keep expanding our understanding of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us and through us. Today's scripture readings have a wide range of gifts of the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, that reading from Acts is well known to anyone who reads scripture in worship, and there's only a few people who would ever volunteer to read that lesson out loud. But once you get past all of the names and the places, you realize that this Pentecost celebration had a very unifying effect. Because all the people gathered could hear and understand one another as if they were speaking the same language. People were absolutely astounded, as we would be. Of course, like in almost every situation, there were naysayers who couldn't believe what they were experiencing, or they simply didn't share that experience. We don't know, but the best explanation that they could come up with is that all those gathered had been drinking new wine. But Peter doesn't let them steal this moment. Instead, he interprets what is happening by quoting the prophet Joel. He accompanies them through their excitement and confusion to help them to see how God is active in that moment. Today we are also given familiar, comforting words from Romans 8, which helps to expand our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." How often have you worried about what it is that you should pray? In your own private prayer life, or when you're called on to pray in front of a group, many good, faithful Christians can become frozen with the idea of praying out loud in front of others. But we have been promised that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, In the moments when we don't want to show our lack of confidence or lack of eloquence, in the moments when we are at a loss for words, or in the moments when our heart is broken open and there are no words coming from our lips, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit, after all, is capable of expressing even more than any of us can. And I know the Holy Spirit has been active this week, expressing the grief and loss of parents and grandparents at the unexpected death of two young people. And I know the Spirit is active with those women and children that have died this week while missiles have been shot indiscriminately across borders. The Holy Spirit is actively working in our lives and in the lives of our neighbors. For many weeks now, we have been spending time in the Gospel of John. And today we are told in John's Gospel that the Advocate will come, sent by Jesus from the Father. This Spirit is also known as the Spirit of Truth. And this Spirit will not speak in its own word, but will speak what is spoken first by God. The Holy Spirit here is called the Advocate. The word advocate can mean to come alongside, which at least for me ties us back to the idea of accompaniment. Accompaniment, of course, isn't only a musical term, but it can also be what happens when we come alongside another to learn from them and to share the knowledge we may have. It continues to be a relationship that we give and we take. We are told that the Spirit is to testify to Jesus, but as God's people, we are called to testify to Jesus as well. The relationship we have with the Spirit has a common goal, and that goal is to bring us and others closer to God by knowing Jesus. The truth is, unless you practice this, it isn't always easy to know when the Spirit is moving around you. But there's a couple steps you can start with. The first is to tell yourself that the Spirit is constantly moving around you. Because when you start looking for something, guess what? You start to see that. It's the same effect that happens when you buy a new car and you've never seen one before you bought it. And then as soon as you buy the car, it seems like every other car on the highway is the exact same car. It's that same effect, that when we look for something, we have an opportunity to find that. So we need to look for the Holy Spirit and recognize that the Spirit is always moving around us. So that when we are at our best, the Spirit is lifting us up. When we are at our worst, the Spirit is holding us close. When there are no words, the Spirit speaks for us, even if it's only a deep sigh. In the moments of celebration, in the moments of profound grief, in the moments of great joy, and in the moments of great sadness, it is the Holy Spirit that accompanies us, guiding us to the life that we have in Jesus, guiding us to the grace that we have already received, guiding us to the best we can be at that moment. And in those moments when we can't recognize life or grace or even what's best, the Spirit simply sighs and holds on to us so that we may know that we are not alone, that we are still beloved, even when we may not be able to feel it. Siblings in Christ, the Spirit knows us in our strength, but more importantly, the Spirit knows us in our weakness. The Spirit knows when we have no idea how to pray. And so this great accompanist lets out a sigh too deep for words. From Romans we hear, "And God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit intercedes for each of us according to the will of God. And we know something about the will of God. The will of God is salvation through Christ Jesus. The will of God is for us to know that we have received grace upon grace. The will of God is for us to have abundant life and to bear fruit in this world. The will of God is for us to know God through God's own Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Advocate, the Accompanist, the Holy Spirit. The will of God is for us to accompany one another and share the message of God's love and grace for us all, made known first in Christ Jesus. Amen.